This summer, my husband Ken and I went to North Carolina for the birth of our fourth grandchild, the new Audrey Adam. We returned to Houston after 10 beautiful days by way of the Charlotte airport. We returned our rental car and caught our flight back to Houston. It wasn't very long after we returned that I began to fret. I couldn't find my orange notebook that contained my weekly calendar, all my appointments, and my address book and phone numbers. I madly went through my luggage and bags three or four times, searching and searching, when it occurred to me I had left the orange book in the rental car. So off I go to Hertz. First, this has to be done online. They had a lost and found department. Just fill out a lost and found form and describe the object that you've lost on the form, its color and its airport location of all the airports in the United States and the world, and then click submit and wait for a response. After 2 days and no response, I began to be more aggressive. I directly called Hertz in Charlotte. Fortunately, some wonderful lady gave my case some attention. The problem was that the lost form had not reached its destination. I needed to fill it out again, which I did the second time and the third time. If you have some feeling of what these forms online you go through, they didn't go through. So I had to start all over again. Fortunately, I called again, and the fine lady on the Hertz phone, since I had described my notebook and since she had found it, she said she would mail it to me. Did I rejoice with a big sigh? And was I eager to tell my husband, I found it. It's been found. It's being mailed to me. You see, lost and found departments and drawers I've often felt were heaven sent. Perhaps you know what I mean. All my life, I've had to haunt these lost and found drawers, go there in humble pie with the hope that I might retrieve whatever it was this time that I had lost, my glasses, my keys, my wallet. By the grace of God, someone, some kind soul, may have returned the object that I lost, and some beautiful person had given it to a responsible person who would take care of it until I discovered the loss and it could be found. Think back on something you have lost that was precious to you, and the anxiety of the search and the gratefulness and delight when you found it. When that happens to me, I immediately want to tell someone, I found it, be happy for me. Then, of course, is a situation very dreaded and fearful when a child for whom you are responsible momentarily slips away from your sight or runs faster ahead of you so that you can't catch, and the gasp when you immediately realize that he's gotten away or she's gotten away from you. Perhaps that traumatic experience is something like what the Good Shepherd feels when he has lost us. That shepherd in the parable that Jesus told to the objectors when he was welcoming the tax collectors and the sinners. The shepherd who went after the one sheep out of 100 that was lost until he found it. I've always loved this image of the Good Shepherd. It's one of the oldest images of Jesus that the early Christians venerated. But it's even older than the Christian text. It goes back to the Psalms. Psalm 23, you know so well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What comforting words. Words that we want to pull out and read when we're a place of sorrow. The Lord as a shepherd is one of the most enduring images of God in the Bible. And it's very understandable. The image of the Lord as a shepherd would emerge in an agricultural and nomadic society in life of the Hebrews. After all, their leaders kept sheep, Abraham, Isaac. Rachel, Jacob's wife, was a shepherdess. Moses kept the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And young David was a shepherd. And it was the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep that was of such a quality that it was a rich, rich source to talk about the spiritual life. The shepherd as the protector of the sheep, as the guide and the constant companion. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shepherd cared for the sheep. When the shepherd was near, they did not want. They had green pastures, still waters. And by analogy, for the children of God, their souls were restored. Their heads were anointed with oil. And goodness and mercy were gifted to them as they dwelt in the house of the Lord forever. We know that Jesus himself identified with the shepherd. And he was imaged forth in Matthew and in John and in Luke, from which we read today. And we also know that Jesus as the good shepherd was found most often in the Christian art in the very early centuries, the second and third century. It was a favorite of the early Christians. We know this because on the walls, wall paintings and frescoes in the Roman catacombs, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was painted. And elsewhere in statuary and mosaics, all the way through the 5th century, when somehow the image disappeared and was replaced with the crucified Lord, the resurrected Lord. And some of these very early images that perhaps you have seen online or in person, they depict Jesus as a shepherd rejoicing as he carries the found ram on his shoulder, holding his feet in his hands and heading for home, just as described in our gospel today. According to Luke's parable, Jesus makes no exception when one of his sheep is lost, but he goes after it to until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost." The early Christians in the Roman West, for them, this was the image that they venerated. But we know Christianity wasn't just westward from Palestine, but in fact went eastward. We know that Paul had his vision on the road to Damascus. And we know that communities were established in Syria and what is now modern Iran and Iraq. You may have recently heard of the incredible 20th century archaeological find on the banks of the Euphrates River in Syria in a city called Dura Europos. You may have heard about it because the excavation was recently destroyed by not only an earthquake, but by the ravaging looting of ISIS. You see, Dura Europos was a city in the ancient world in the 2nd and 3rd century where there was a Christian building and a Jewish synagogue and a Greek temple, all existing within the city walls. And it was thought that the Christian building was at first a house church, and that sometime in the 3rd century, it was converted into a house of worship, and a baptismal font was placed there. And above the baptismal font, the picture of the Good Shepherd had been painted, with the shepherd carrying the ram on his shoulders. Imagine hearing the worship leader in the 3rd century of this Christian church as the men and women are lining up for baptism. Imagine him saying, or her saying, "The Good Shepherd, the restorative shepherd, the Christ has sought you out. Come, be baptized." Isn't it interesting? Dura Europos is far from the border of the Syrian border of the Euphrates, far from Rome. But here also was the image of the Good Shepherd venerated by early Christians. The Good Shepherd who gave unconditional love and compassion for the lost. There are many images of Christ throughout art history. And these images are very important, I think. I'm a visual person. They're very important to me, and they teach me. The Lucan image is of a rejoicing Christ, not a suffering Christ. A rejoicing Christ who loves us unconditionally. Our Emmanuel, our God with us, who celebrates us when we've strayed and when he can find us again and he can bring us home. The image suggests that we are precious in his sight, that the Christ cherishes us, each of us, his flock, heals, guides, and sustains us. I think there's actually a window of the Good Shepherd on that side of the church. The problem is, can you think of yourself as something precious that God loves? Something cherished? Someone cherished? Can be difficult, can't it? Can you think of yourself as unconditionally loved by the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. There's so many images of Jesus. There's so many stories. But would that this week we could image forth our Christ in statuary or in mosaic or painted wall. Image forth the rejoicing Christ. It makes me smile. Carrying us on his shoulders and bringing us home. If we could sustain that image in our prayers every day, I wonder how that might change us. How we think about ourselves as beloved, beloved unconditionally, and how we think about others in this wide, wide world of humankind who are also God's beloved creatures. You might try it this week. When you sit down for prayers, bring up that compassionate image of the Good Shepherd carrying you on his shoulders and rejoicing that he has brought you home. Amen.